This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In recent weeks, we've had some really fascinating guests on the paranormal that focus on not just a lot of investigations, but taking a measured, skeptical approach. They don't take everything that comes down the pike. They don't accept every claim. In that tradition, this week, Randall and I are proud to bring on Sharon A. Hill, a geologist, who's author of a book called Scientifical Americans, The Culture of Amateur Paranormal Researchers. And I notice here, she's written for both The Skeptical Inquirer and 40 and Times. So Sharon, that means you're kind of like straddling both ends of the picture here?
That's exactly right.
So why? What got you interested in the subjects?
Well, like lots of people, I've been interested in it since I was a kid, since I can remember picking up books in the library. It was always about ghosts or monsters or UFOs or psychic powers, things like that. And, you know, you go to college, you get a science degree, and those things kind of fall to the background for a while you're busy doing other things. But then I had some time and a different perspective on the world, and I started looking back into the subjects again. I still enjoy the stories that people tell, and I don't disbelieve everything, but I understand that there is a different method we could apply to the evidence now. So that's what I try to do.
That must be pretty tough for you sometimes, being caught right in the middle between the scientific community and what the scientific community would call the woo factor.
It is. It's very much so. In fact, to the point where I'm not sure I have a tribe. I still am a consultant for the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. I don't do anything in that capacity. And I did work even for the James Randi Educational Foundation for a while and was very involved in the skeptical community. I've since moved away from that for various reasons. But yet, if I go to paranormal conventions or, you know, places where people are not so critical, they're just there to tell their stories and they have a different worldview, it is difficult to take everything. She can't take it at face value. I can see where things are sort of not quite right, and I just sort of have to step back. And I'm very much an observer now. I like to go to these conferences and observe and listen. I think right now I see a much broader picture than most people see because I've looked at both sides.
Before we go on, do you see any reality in the other side, the believer side, anything at all?
Oh, it's complicated. I look a lot into folklore and why people believe, and I really do find that there are these core experiences that all humans have. And I do believe that everybody sort of perceives the world in a different way. And some people may perceive it in an entirely different way than another person. And I'm not going to say that your very special experience didn't happen. I wasn't there. I didn't experience it. Maybe you have different faculties. You have different degrees of senses than I have. I don't know that. And I certainly wouldn't say that don't exist, because people have experiences. So there is a ghost experience, and people have ghostly episodes, and people have Bigfoot experiences. I don't know if what they say they are, their interpretation, is correct, but I'm not going to discount their very unique and usually highly emotional experience that they have had.
That's really fair-minded, and it's one of the reasons I was really hoping to get you on to talk about it, because some of the skeptics on the far end of the spectrum, they would simply deny the experience itself is anything but sheer nonsense. And you seem to at least give some credit to the witness who has had an experience. They may not know how to explain it, and especially in scientific terms, but to them it was real. and it was something unusual. And they deserve to have an audience for that if it's of concern to them.
I think when I started writing the book and took a look at amateur paranormal researchers, the first thing I realized was how passionate they are. And they've usually had an experience that has prompted them to do this. And they're not stupid and they're not crazy. And they're really trying hard to make sense of what happened to them or to figure out what is going on in the world. And to discount the huge portion of the population that has some sort of paranormal belief, I think is ridiculous. We shouldn't ignore that. We shouldn't dismiss it. It's very interesting, no matter what has happened to them, no matter what the explanation. And I'm sure that there's a panoply of explanations that probably happened to people. Can't even, you know, list them all. But they've really been impacted in their life, and they take that experience with them often through their whole entire life. So it really is worth paying attention to. That is kind of where I got away from the skeptical community, because they thought this was a stupid thing to look at. They thought it was not worthwhile to look at. And I do.
Okay, so we see people are having experiences that they feel are genuine. I think you agree with me that when it comes to UFOs, 90 or 95% of what we see and presume to be unidentified can be explained conventionally. Where things get difficult is that remaining residue, 5 or 10%, that we don't really have a clue about. Obviously, there are people who think they're extraterrestrial, and maybe that's possible. But one of the viewpoints expressed very commonly on the Paracast is there are lots of interesting possibilities that should be debated, but there is no smoking gun. You know, before I pass this mortal fiber or coil or whatever, we may learn that it was all conventional, test aircraft or something. We may learn E.T. is here. We may learn it's a collective unconscious in action. And the same thing about other phenomena.
Right. And perhaps we don't even have the information to make those judgments. And we never will, because the moment has passed to gather that information. And we just don't know.
You were saying something, Randall?
I heard you cut in there, so I thought, well, now I'll let you go ahead, Gene.
I'd like to know also, when we look at that, you're focusing this book on the amateur researchers, amateur paranormal researchers. I'm assuming then that you're referring to people who don't get paid for it? What about people who write books and give lectures? Aren't they professional in as much as they receive money for it? Or do you require scientific credentials?
Really, my definition was extremely broad. This was the people that do this voluntarily. Most of the time, they don't get paid. They don't get compensated. They're not under the auspices of any organization other than the one that they've formed themselves. It's a very grassroots effort to form a group of people who want to go out and do this thing. They usually focus on mysteries, you know, paranormal. That would be not only ghost hunters and people who investigate hauntings, but also ufologists and cryptozoologists and people who just investigate normal, like Fortean phenomenon or psychic phenomenon. But the majority of them, and I did count them back in 2010 in the U.S., and there were well over 2,000 at the time of these groups. I focused on the group, not necessarily individual, because that number is always in flux. So is the group, but the individuals were hard for me to study, but the groups were available online. And that's how these groups put themselves out to the world, mostly is through word of mouth on the internet, now through social media. So they went directly to the public. And when I looked at them, they didn't have any science background. Almost none of them said that they had any science background. So they were strictly amateurs in that sense, but amateur meaning, you know, one who loves. This is what they love to do. And so that's the way you should take that definition.
Also, I guess a hobby. But what about an organization like MUFON that has a professional management staff that's paid a salary? They go through formal training, some kind of training of individual investigators, and they do have advisors and members who do have various levels of scientific achievements. Now, we can go into more of that in a moment. We want to continue our discussion, Randall and I, with Sharon A. Hill. The book is Scientifical Americans, Culture of Amateur Paranormal Researchers. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Somebody wrote on the forums, and they write wacky things on the forums and sometimes really smart things, in fact, most of the time, suggesting because I would talk about Randall's use of a low-end echo chamber as opposed to what we can do in post-production, that by referring to it more than once, I must be suffer from a high-level degree of autism. I will let that stand. You can decide what you think about it. In the meantime, our guest Sharon Hill is here, and she doesn't want to hear about that stuff. So I asked her about an organization like MUFON that has thousands of members a professionally paid staff, scientific advisors of different types. Where do you rate them?
The UFO category was very difficult. There were majority of these amateur groups focused on ghosts and hauntings. The vast majority, something like 87% of them I counted, were ghost specific. There were many who were just paranormal. They did everything. There was about 3.5% that were cryptozoologist centric, mostly Bigfoot researchers. And then there were only two groups that focused strictly on UFOs, and one of those was MUFON. So it's a very unique situation because it's huge and because it's strange because it has individual chapters that have sort of their own minds in some cases, and yet they recruit the amateurs to do this. And by far, they were the only organization that had any sort of organization to it where they recruited people and they had some sort of system. They had a database. They had a training manual. They had a test. They had a convention. They were by far the most organized when it came to having investigators go out and do this type of research and respond to cases. So they were definitely unique. But they only counted as one. So,
how about QFOS? That's the one that was started by J. Allen Hynek, who had genuine scientific credentials. He's a fellow at the Yerkes Observatory and worked with the Air Force in Project Blue Book. And yeah, they're still around.
Right. I talk about the history of UFO groups in the book. I go through the history of each one of these fields from the time that they became sort of popular and the history of the groups that have been formed and when they started to become researched. I went through all those. The heyday of UFO research is past compared to the ghost hunters, right?
Did you go into the early days when we had APRO and yeah. NICAP and CSI and Civilian Saucer Intelligence of New York?
It was fantastic because those were the days of newsletters and physical bulletin boards where you would post meeting announcements. And it's just so funny to see how the internet took over for all that in the late 90s, where then you started to become digital and it was much easier to meet up with people of like minds. And that's also what helped these other groups to collect individuals and expand so tremendously was the internet was such a boon. I think maybe UFOs for amateur researchers missed that opportunity, but yet they had their own blossoming of interest thanks to the internet as well.
One of the things that I maintain when it comes to ufology is that it doesn't belong in the sciences. It isn't a science, and it's not well suited to the sciences. I don't think it can ever be a science unto itself. And I'll say that right up front to people. Our group has about 2,000 members in 22 countries, and it's informal.
Randall, you should explain what your group is as opposed to the show.
Right. That's USI is the group that I'm with, and the show here is the Paracast, and I'm doing the co-host. But the group that I'm with is called USI, Ufology Society International. Now, some of our people have some scientific credentials. Quite a few don't. It's informal. But the point I was getting at is what you just described is that ufology has a huge cultural aspect to it. To chop that cultural aspect out of it, I think would be doing a disservice to the field. And therefore, it can't really be put into the scientific method. There's certain aspects of it that might be okay with the scientific method, but my position is that, well, if we get that sort of evidence, we should be handing it off at arm's length to actual accredited, trained scientists who can study it on their own terms and come to their own conclusions.
Well, that's great, and I would fully support that viewpoint. What I did in the book was I counted how many of these groups actually used the term scientific and then what they meant by that, actually what they went and did in their activities that was judged as scientific. Was it scientific or not? And about half of them didn't. Half of them didn't even say anything. Or a few of them just discounted it. They went purely with psychic methods or religious methods, not anything in a rational process of investigation. But I don't think you have to be scientific. That's sort of the ending of the book. I think you should stop pretending to be scientific. you can be reasonable. You can be rational in thinking about what the problem is and how you can possibly look at it and maybe gain more additional information towards it. And I don't like when people say that they're being scientific when they're really not. They're faking it. They're pretending to play scientists. I don't think you need to do that. You can do really good research without pretending to be a scientist. You can collect the data, make sure it's good collection. You can share it with others. The approach, I think, for ufology in particular, to me, this is my opinion, the question should be, okay, somebody saw something in the sky or had had some sort of experience near ground or on the ground. What, if anything, happened there? Instead of what a lot of ghost hunters do by saying, we're going to go out and look for paranormal evidence, which is a completely different thing. My aspect is I want to find out what happened to these people and describe their experience. Maybe there's a pattern here. Maybe we could start to see something interesting if we study the data, but not jump to those conclusions about, I know what happened here and I'm going to try to prove the paranormal.
Right. And I think if you have evidence that is measurable, then by definition, it isn't paranormal.
Right.
There's sort of a casual paranormal, and then there's a more strict definition. When the casual sort of has everything fall into it, UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, and so on, the more stricter definition says that it's beyond the measure of science altogether. In other words, it doesn't matter how long our science evolves, it's never going to have the tools or the ability to be able to properly measure it. So say something like a belief in the supernatural, as opposed to something like a UFO, which hypothetically, if there are alien visitors to planet Earth, they should be fully measurable and we should be able to find out where they come from. So they would fall into the natural, whereas some things fall outside it. And no matter how long we're around, we'll just never get the answers.
I'll tell you what, let's do our break, and then we'll get back to Sharon Hill to respond to Randall's question. So once again, our guest is Sharon A. Hill. She's a geologist by trade, author of a book called Scientifical Americans. All right? And we'll talk about the culture of paranormal researchers and things like that, and also the response to Randall's question. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The FBI is working through the weekend with agents looking into sexual misconduct allegations made against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. An anonymous source says the Bureau will investigate claims that were made by his former Yale classmate Deborah Ramirez, which expands the investigation beyond those made by Christine Blasey Ford. President Trump spoke to reporters at the White House before leaving for a rally in West Virginia.
I would expect it's going to turn out very well for the judge.
Speaking in Austin, Texas, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi says Kavanaugh could have two jobs in jeopardy now.
If he is not telling the truth to Congress or to the FBI, then he's not fit not only to be on the Supreme Court, but to be on the court that he's on right now.
Kavanaugh denies the claim. He's alleged that Democrats, including the Clintons, are out to get him. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we asked a question of Sharon at the end of the last segment. What's your response?
I'm so glad you asked that, because in the book, I describe what I think is the difference between paranormal and supernatural. And I think that there's a difference. I think with the paranormal, we're outside what we know of science or what we perceive as normal or what everybody sort of takes as established. Something else has happened beyond that. We don't quite understand. It doesn't fit into what we know. But it doesn't mean it won't fit into what we know eventually. It doesn't mean it can't be studied. It means that eventually we may get there. And where I see the supernatural is beyond nature, so beyond natural laws. So things like demons and angels and magic and powers that don't conform to the laws of nature. We can't study those because we have to use the laws of nature as boundaries. If we don't have any boundaries, we can't study them because we can't predict them at all. And it's not science. So the supernatural is outside of science completely. The paranormal could be, it's on the edge, but we might get there.
Right. It's potentially
right.
Possible to be able to, if we say if we had a UFO land, we could measure it, weigh it, study it. Presumably with the tools that we have nowadays, we could analyze its materials all the way down to the atomic level. I mean, there's nothing about it we couldn't measure, study, and find out about. Other than perhaps where it came from, we might need to get some scientists on board and actually take a trip to wherever it came from in order to verify that it came from beyond the boundaries and constructs of known civilization, which is how I look at the term alien. It doesn't necessarily mean ET or extraterrestrial. It seems like that's a reasonable hypothesis, though, in a loose sense, not necessarily in a strict scientific sense.
Yeah, the thing about the study of UFOs, I think it's quite broad. I mean, are you talking about something that people are seeing in the sky, or are you talking about alien visitations? I really don't like the survey questions that ask people, do you believe in UFOs? Because that's a really awful question. What's belief got to do with it? And we've all seen something in the sky that we don't know what it is that was unidentified. It's a terrible question. It invokes an unanswered question of, do you believe in alien visitation? Which is not the same question. It's completely different. Or But do you believe in aliens in general? Because that's also a different question. Have they come to Earth is another different question. It tends to get all muddled together, which is a disservice.
It really is. But that's, I think, part of the problem of the field itself, being in it for as long as I have, is that there's no consensus even among people in the field as to what the terminology means. So I've made a real concerted effort to trace back the etymology of the words, the history, the usage, and create a case for why certain words mean what they do. But most people don't do that. When you hear the word UFO, they say, oh, well, that literally means unidentified flying object, which it doesn't, not in any sense of the term. Not every acronym means the literal interpretation of what the words that make up the acronym mean. Like radar, you know, radio detection and ranging. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're out on the range detecting radios, but people use that term UFO in a way that really causes more confusion than it should. I think it was Jacques Vallée said that he couldn't think of a word that was more treacherous than the term UFO.
Yeah, and unfortunately, language just does its own thing when released into culture, and we can't control it. As much as I would like to do that, too, when people say, oh, it's paranormal. No, doesn't necessarily mean it's paranormal. Have you exhausted all the normal? Can you really say it's paranormal? You haven't actually figured out, maybe you never will, all the possible normal things. So the best you can say is, I don't know what this is. I don't know what happened here. But unfortunately, it's been used in that colloquial sense, and people have an idea of what it's supposed to mean.
Absolutely. So maybe that's what we should do, is talk a little bit about some of the terms. When you use the term scientifical as opposed to science, so for you, what does science mean? What does that term mean to you?
Science is pretty broad, and again, people think of it as something that is probably not quite accurate, but science is a process, first and foremost, a method of how we discover knowledge, and that knowledge is usually pretty reliable because of the methods that go into gaining it. One of the reliable ways that we have of getting knowledge, although through time, it can change, depending upon new evidence. The second thing is, it's the community of people who do that work. It's what they do when they share the work with each other. They work together, they publish, they come to conferences, they come together and they share their data and they share their ideas and they fight about it. And then the third thing is that body of knowledge is also the science. Everything that we know that has come from that community and that method is a science. The science has that three-pronged meaning to it. When you're talking about, oh, science does this, well, I'm not sure what that means, because are you talking about the community, are you talking about the body of knowledge, or are you talking about the process? And I think people really misunderstand the process because they're never really taught what real science is like. The scientific method, it doesn't work like a cookbook. The way people are taught in school, you know, in your primary science classes, doesn't quite work like that. The world is not that simple. And depending upon the field, it's a little bit different. So I try to explain science in that three-pronged way so people to understand that it's not just one monolithic thing. It's pretty complicated, and it involves many people.
That's really a good way to describe it. It's one of the things that I found out myself looking into it, trying to say, okay, well, if we're not going to call ufology a science, then what are we going to call it? And how could we look at it from a serious perspective? And I've determined that I think that we could put it in an academic sense, not a scientific sense. They'd probably be better off in the humanities, for example. I mean, consider a film like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I believe that's been actually inducted into one of the cultural libraries that you've got down there in the States. You'll have to excuse me, I don't remember the exact name, but it's got status now in American culture. And it's part of ufology, but there's no way that you're going to be able to take that and people's opinions about it and their experiences watching it and put that into the scientific method. It's just beyond that ability. And yet it's still a very important part of the subject as a whole.
I think a lot of these paranormal topics are multidisciplinary, just like that.
I think here we should also consider here the use of the word culture. And you're talking, I guess, when you talk about the culture of a movement involving paranormal researchers. And I'd like you to define that further. Does that mean that certain types of people get involved in this, or is it a very loose culture where all sorts of people from different backgrounds are attracted? Is there the typical UFO researcher, a composite UFO researcher, a composite ghost hunter, a composite person who looks for Bigfoot?
Well, I think you can see similarities across the different fields. Some are across all the fields, and some are just unique to certain fields. Like cryptozoology is primarily men, even more so than ufology. And ghost hunters is more egalitarian. It's also just probably just as many women, which is a unique feature in that aspect. But I only studied the groups. I didn't really study the individuals, but I see a lot of the individuals at play and online and interacting with each other and talking about these subjects. And you can sort of see these patterns of where they come from. For the most part, you know, they're not college educated in science. They may have some sort of degree, but they don't really understand the concept of science. But they understand that there's a value to being scientific or saying that you're scientific. And that is actually a thread in our culture. Our American culture, our Western culture, our modern culture values science. So culture being a group of people, everything they do and stuff that goes into forming their beliefs and then what they produce to feed back into the system of exchanges.
Let's do our break here. And we'll go back because I want to amplify on that, Sharon. We've got Sharon, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com, V-E-R-C-E-L Media.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Sharon A. Hill joins us, and we're talking about the culture, focusing now on UFO researchers, paranormal researchers in general, ghost hunters, cryptozoologists. Now, you mentioned to me, in terms of the breakdown, the gender breakdown, that much more males are interested in looking for Bigfoot than females. Of course, we know our good friend Lauren Coleman, for example. Is there a reason for that?
I'm sure there is maybe more than one reason. I'm not sure what it is. I personally have not found the field to be very female-friendly. In various ways, it's the one place that I've been most harassed online.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and some pretty nasty stuff. And I wouldn't say that it's too bad, but there have been incidents where it's been very bad. It's not that I would be afraid to go to these meetups or to engage with these people, but it is sort of an internet thing. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I have not seen the same with the ghost hunters or the ufologists. You go to a UFO convention and, sure, it's lots of older white guys there, but I still can interact with them just fine. I don't have any problem with that. Same with the ghost hunters. It's very diverse there. Even with cryptozoology, I have to say, I'm going to qualify my statement because I have been to a cryptozoology convention not too long ago where there was a lot of young people. So there are some people coming in. There were quite a number of young women. They may have a different view of cryptozoology than people like Lauren Coleman. They're not as interested necessarily in the ideas of like Bernard Heuvelmans or Roy Mackle. They might not know who those people are, but they're interested in the idea of these creatures being out there. So maybe there's a shift to a younger generation in that field, and I think that that's good to see.
One of the concerns I've seen about UFOs in general is when I've gone to these conventions, and of course we have the International UFO Conference in the Phoenix area, and that is most of the people I encounter are older people. I don't see that many young people. Yeah, of course, if you have something like a Comic-Con, where it gets 150,000 people, and it's a mixture of all age groups looking for their favorite movie TV stars and comic book artists and writers, and maybe because of the fact that it has an entertainment aspect, attracts a lot more people. And I've wondered in general, we've talked about it on the Paracast, because both Randall and I are a little older amongst the crowd and probably typical of the age of people who go to these conventions. You mentioned younger people coming to various events. Is this a factor of UFOs playing themselves out, or what?
I wonder. I don't know. I couldn't really say. UFOs are not my strong point. I'm not to say anything disparaging, but it was just never my interest. Space in general was never my interest. I was more interested on in the Earth and the rocks on the Earth than space. And I always had an interest in biology, so that's why cryptozoology is fascinating to me. So I can't really say, but to me, I don't see a whole lot of new things just as an outside observer looking what's coming out of the UFO community. It seems like a lot of stuff has, you're traveling over the same ground. And I do, however, see, I don't know if there was a turn off, like something just branched off into UFOs being under a very big paranormal umbrella. So when you're talking about things like Skinwalker Ranch, or we have a place here in Pennsylvania called Chestnut Ridge, where it's an area of high strangeness, and it involves UFOs, it involves cryptids, it involves paranormal phenomena of all types. And I see that thread of ufology going in a different direction, and that is attracting more younger people into it because it's a very broad scope and it feels kind of new and exciting. Does that make any sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. The longer that I look at the subject matter, and this may be my own personal bias, the more I start to see how a lot of the various aspects of the paranormal can connect in with ufology in a way that seems rational to me. In other words, I look for a way to say, well, okay, so someone sees a UFO and it seems to change shape or it disappears. Well, how is that possible? And then I think, well, we're working on active camouflage and holographic technology. So why shouldn't they be able to do that? Or perhaps they've got active camouflage for their body armor or something like that, where they can make actually themselves appear to be some other kind of a creature. At least that's a way of going, well, there's a technology that hypothetically could explain that rather than having to invoke alternate dimensions or things that are even further out on the Occam's razor scale, if you know what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go back to the science, how many of these groups, when you say, well, they don't really know what the science, the principles of science are, like, it, you know, I would say, well, you know, a systematic endeavor to build and organize knowledge, form testable explanations and predictions, that sort of thing. I'm not a scientist, but that seems to be one of the cornerstones.
Right. Scientific method, but it's a sticky definition. But yes, those factors come into play. But the thing that I use to judge how scientific these groups actually were was by using Merton's norms. Robert Merton was a sociologist of science, and he looked at the culture of scientists and how they functioned. So we're back to this cultural idea again, the culture of science. And he had some features, norms, ethics, ethos, he called them. And they were communalism, universalism, disinterestedness, skepticism, and one he tacked on at the end was originality. So maybe we could talk about how each one of those involves the amateur paranormal researchers.
Right. I think in a lot of cases, those all apply well. But one of the things that I would point out, or at least that I've noticed, is that when you're talking about the communal aspect, most scientists who are accredited, they come from an educational institution that has been accredited to teach some science. And therefore, there seems to be an assumption, well, that if they go to school that teaches science, and it's assumed that what you're doing there is science, and that anything else isn't science. And in a way, I think maybe science has been kind of hijacked by the academic elite and people in these institutions. Because if we're just looking at the history of the word and where it comes from, we're talking about discerning knowledge, investigation, truth, and using something like critical thinking to establish what that is.
All those norms take into account what you just said. Communalism means, you know, you're sharing info, you're being public with all your data, you're sharing it, it's always out there for anybody to look at. Universalism means that the social context is unimportant and no observer is privileged. Disinterestedness, that's obvious. There's no investing in the outcome. You're not biased. Skepticism involves the critical thinking that you were talking about, the peer review, the dialogue, the debate. And originality means you build on what you've already learned and you don't keep reinventing the wheel. So those were the things that the ethos of the culture, and built into that is sort of the scientific method and how we work on it.
But isn't that kind of an ideal, though? Because when you really look at how science works, well, of course, you've got industrial secrets. You've got labs that are got high security where nobody gets to know what's going on in there.
Right. That's right. And you've got you certainly have some bias, too.
Oh, absolutely.
That's very difficult to overcome. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be good and bad on the scale. Some stuff is not going to come out to actually be good science.
And then I think on the skeptical side, I've been literally brought to tears by the people of the former James Randi Foundation website forum, which actually distanced itself from the foundation itself because it had become so, I'll just use the word cyberbullies, they became very mean to people.
Actually, it's the other way around. The foundation distanced itself from the forum.
Exactly.
They cut the tie, yeah.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly what I meant. And good for them for doing it because you know, I went there searching to try to cooperate with some skeptics. And I found a couple who were really good. And I still get their newsletters and go through them. And they come up with some really good stuff about what possible explanations there are for the various phenomena. But 90% of the time I was getting heckled on or harassed and maybe kind of the same way that you experienced being harassed by the Paranormal Society.
Let's get into more of this. The culture, the cyberbullies, the trolls. More to come with Gene, Randall, and Sharon. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.